welcoming you to Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, CCL's Volunteer Education and Engagement Coordinator, Brett Cease, and we want to thank you especially for taking time tonight, or if you're tuning in later on the podcast, for learning about leading lobby teams. In this lesson, what we're going to do is go into detail about the special role of a lobby team leader. The lead, as we know, makes sure that our teams go into that meeting with a plan and that everyone knows how to work together to ensure a successful meeting where everyone can really feel like they're contributing to being a part of that team effort. And you might probably be listening to this call because you know you'll be leading a lobby team coming up in DC, or because you realize you might be needed in this role, or simply because you want to keep deepening your understanding of how to lobby. So whatever has brought you here tonight, we are so glad for yourself giving time. On our agenda, what we're going to be doing is covering the following 5 points in our outline, and then with that, we'll stick around for Q&A, but we'll start with really emphasizing the important role that leaders play. We'll talk about advanced planning. We'll have a chance to really suggest some thoughts as you prepare for your meetings and what to consider. We'll give you some specific examples of how to transition out of some sticky situations or keep the conversation flowing. And then we'll offer some final considerations and logistic details for leads to consider as they get ready, especially for DC. And without further ado, what I'd love to actually do is pass the baton to you, Iona, and we can do a quick introduction and by way of finding out a little bit more about your background.
Hi, everybody. Hey, I'm Iona Luti, Regional Coordinator for the Northeast Region. I joined CCL just in time for the June conference in 2013. I started a chapter in Columbia County in upstate New York. I was group leader and liaison and later New York State coordinator, and in 2016 became regional coordinator. And the most important thing I have to say is I will be internally grateful to CCL for empowering me to play a part in reversing climate change, which I, as the rest of you, care so deeply about. CCL has changed my life. We thank you so much for stepping forward to lead, aspire to lead, to prepare to lead, and it's so important for what we do. We just can't function well without it. So as you all know, it can be very time consuming, and sometimes we have to step outside of our comfort zone to be a leader. But you are doing just that and putting yourselves on the line to help things go well in our lobby meetings. So I'm so grateful to you all for your hard work. You are truly essential and we can't do it without you. Thank you.
I'm guessing, especially if it's the very first time that you're getting ready for leading a meeting in DC, there's just a couple of things that we want to emphasize because you might feel a little bit anticipatory. And, you know, a lot of us are going to feel nervous, whether this is our first conference, our 10th, you name it. It's a normal feeling. And the key thing to really highlight and center in, at least from my perspective, is that our advantage is that we are authentically citizens. We're not professional lobbyists, right? So even though you want to be professional, you don't have to try to be a professional lobbyist. And this is really truly at the heart of why we're coming to the U.S. Congress, as well as volunteers in Canada, Australia, and any other country in the world right now, as a part of CCL, are lobbying their government. So relax and just be yourself. Do whatever it is for you that helps get you into a place where you can feel centered and settled. And I think also for me, part of what sets CCL apart in the eyes of congressional offices is that we are ordinary people who clearly care deeply about something, so deeply that we're willing to pay our own fare to travel to DC, take time out of our busy work lives, and let Congress know about it. And I think the other key thing is to accept that there are going to be mistakes. That's inevitable, right? We're all human. You'll make mistakes, your teammates will. There'll be things that you or your team have said that could have been said better. And, you know, we'll show you how to handle some of these in situations throughout tonight's training. But if you just center in this, that we are building relationships, so being human and embracing whatever happens, we know you're going to be set up for success. And I think that's a really helpful frame to really start tonight's training.
In the short amount of time that you're in an actual meeting, how you facilitate that meeting is important. So let's step back and consider the bigger picture for just a moment. And the bigger picture is this: you as meeting leaders are well positioned to nurture and empower others. So make it one of your goals to mentor or nurture the lobby team so that they build their capacity for this work. How do we do that? How do we help our others grow and empower them? The best leaders show faith in those around them, and that's what we're asking you to do. So having faith in other means that you know that they're going to be coachable moments, as Brett mentioned. But to feel empowered, people need to be put into situations where they can both succeed and fail, and where failure is part of our learning experience. So as leaders, your role is to bring out the best in people, and you can do this during planning or practice, during the meeting, and after the meeting. So let's talk about advanced planning and how you can empower your team during this stage. Advanced planning is simply the time you take to plan ahead of any meeting, which is key. And so one important really first step is check if you're actually a team lead for DC. So it's like the main thing. So when you receive, we're all going to receive our schedules by 5 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, June 6th. And that's when you'll know whether you're a team lead. If you don't get your schedule by 5 p.m. Eastern next Thursday, June 6th, then check your spam folder. And if that still doesn't show up, then email us at schedules@citizensclimatelobby.org, and we'll get to the bottom of what happened. The next step is, if possible, if you have the technology, set up a text group on your phone, copy and pasting all your meeting attendees' cell numbers into a new group on your phone. So that'll make it, it'll make it very fast to communicate changes. And so that can be really important down in Washington when things are really hectic and you'd be trying to look for an old cell phone number and stuff. So that would be a really great thing to do. The next thing you can do is just call your team beginning the evening of the 6th or by the next day, June 7th, and start coordinating. You can start setting up a conference call, perhaps even before people get to DC, if you act on fast enough on Thursday. And you could even get some discussion going by email. The next thing you should do is actually call the congressional office of the member of Congress that you're going to be meeting with and verify both the building and the room number. We don't want to be missing a meeting by going to the wrong place. So just be sure that you check that. And then if there is a change, it's up to you to get that information to the other members of your team. Couple of other last considerations. If your plans change, like, you know, some people get sick or, you know, family emergency, please immediately contact your regional and state coordinators so that they can find a substitute meeting lead. Also, the days before, actually, ever since, from the moment you get that assignment, please just make sure you stay on top of your email. Because there could be changes and you want to be on top of those changes. So a change could come from either the liaison or appointment setter, the state coordinator, the regional coordinator, or Amy Bennett. But be on the alert for those and on top of those. So thanks.
And let's talk a little bit more about just how to really set yourself up so you can be coordinated in your planning to make sure everything feels set ahead of your actual lobby meeting on Tuesday, since that's largely what we're targeting. So the key thing are coordinating a time in ahead of your actual arrival in DC so that you know when you get there, everything's going to be already firing on 8 cylinders. You want to make sure that your team knows what your plan is and where you're going to meet and how that can align with everyone else's countervailing schedules. We'll show you a couple of the other things to consider here in that in a moment. But really, another key thing to consider is that planning involves getting to know your team's strengths. And I'm guessing, at least for a lot of you as leads, you're already probably familiar with who else as a constituent is most likely to be on your team with you, where their strengths might be, where there might be overlapping areas for looking out for each other's strengths, and really having a background on CSAIL's relationship with this office as well is going to be key. So using that plan, you know, to apply the situation you find yourself in during that meeting is going to be, I think, a key element. And during the conference, we actually have ways for you to set aside time and meeting rooms to really have your team practice. So what does that look like? And I'm actually going to put these in the chat window as well. On Saturday, if you're arriving to the Omni Shoreham early, the day ahead of time, we have lobby team meeting prep on your own, first come, first serve, the whole day, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. in the cabinet room and the council room. And then we also, after the Saturday seminars are done, have them available in the other three rooms that those are being hosted in, the diplomat, ambassador, and congressional rooms. On Sunday, if you've been to DC before, we'll highlight this on the next slide, but the Birdcage Walk is also available. It's a long hallway with windows that are overlooking the pool area in the Omni. And that's available all day, except for the late afternoon when the regional conference regional breakout sessions are being used. And then lastly, on Monday, throughout the whole day, we have the exhibit hall available. And that's available as you check in during your registration. I'll also just say this too, if you do use those meeting spaces at any point, you know, just make sure to help push in the chairs afterwards just to have it be set up in case there is another use afterwards immediately. And it's also possible, obviously, to find common time outside of those rooms. And on Tuesday, even a lot of teams have success in setting aside some time in the morning. Not everyone's involved in a Senate meeting, oftentimes in the morning. So you can easily also set up another follow-up time or small group time in one of the cafeterias. It just might be a little bit riskier given other people's schedules or that lobbying schedules even change sometimes on Tuesday. And the other key thing is this, as leads, you should give yourself full permission. If not everyone is available, that one time that seems to work for almost everyone, go ahead and set that time that works for most people. And you can plan and really go through everything that you'd like to touch base and establish as ground rules. And then you can always catch that other person that may have missed that up another point. It's not going to be perfect, but you can still make a difference with that team effort and fill in that missing person separately. And I love this quote too, done is better than perfect. So again, just making sure that you're setting aside this time and you actually have a chance to talk through things is going to be key. All right, so let's just look through a couple of the key areas that we've highlighted here on the map. And you can see here that as you enter a lot of the main lobby area, this is the main entrance to the Omni Shoreham. A lot of those rooms that I've highlighted here are if you take a right, and then you basically from there can see that there's the congressional room, the council room, the cabinet room, the forum room. These are all available, as I've highlighted, as planning spaces. And again, another couple of considerations on Saturday, if you are arriving early, we do have our monthly meeting occurring the same day, that Saturday, June 8th. It'll be at 1 o'clock p.m. in this diplomat room, and we'll highlight that in a little bit. So here's the diplomat room. The Saturday seminars are also available. We can speak to those in Q&A if people have questions, and we'll highlight those spaces in just a moment. And we also want to highlight just registration in case people ask you where to go and where to find that. That's right down here on the very bottom side of kind of the far west wing of the Omni. Saturday evening film this year is The Human Element, and that'll be screened downstairs in the Empire Room, the ballroom at 7 p.m. So with that, let's actually, and you can get there again by taking some of these main stairs, a couple of different locations are both available. But I did want to say one thing in coordinating meeting times, and that is this. So as CCL has grown, right, coordinating times for all, 500, 1,000, now 1,300 people that are in lobby meetings are getting more and more challenging. And during the conference's breaks, full lobby teams are trying to meet and practicing has become even a more impressive feat. So what we've done the last couple of years now is actually recommend attendees specific reservation times to meet with their lobby team, depending on what time your lobby meeting is scheduled to start on Tuesday. So you can see here on this schedule, again, to see what conference break times are reserved for you and your lobby teams when you find out next Thursday what your assigned meetings are. You can begin here on the left-hand side, and find, you know, when your team meeting starts on Tuesday, and then that is the corresponding planning time during the conference period. And what this allows is really, hopefully at least, streamlining minimal overlap with planning, given that a lot of these breaks are already spoken for that 1 o'clock or that 2 o'clock hour, and you won't have another countervailing meeting if you're also in a 4 o'clock going on that same break.
So let's review some ideas for connecting and coordinating with your team. To introduce yourself, send an email, or better yet, call them up. There are only six people in a House team and seven people in a Senate team, so it's not that huge a deal. And we a lot of people are on email overload, so you might find that an email might not get answered, but a phone call often will. And if you don't know the volunteer you're speaking to, spend a few minutes getting to know them. This will help you determine what role they might fill, and you know, it develops a connection between the two of you and some trust. And then ask them to choose for between two and three time options for planning your meeting. So Brett just went over those possibilities. So choosing Friday, Saturday, or these designated times that he just mentioned. And then you could ask them what roles they would like to fill. If they're new to CCL, this would be a great time to just review the different lobby team roles and explain the importance of each one. And they can, you know, they have some input in what role they'll fill. You should also confirm that they've received their schedule and the bios and the meeting plans that most schedules include some meeting plans, some won't, some you might be getting separately. And ask them to review this information before the planning session. And also maybe check with them on whether they've watched the planning your meeting with Congress training, because it's very helpful to encourage them to watch at least one or two of the webinars and to check the materials that are attached. It's really good stuff. And then, you know, sometimes some people are willing to have more than one meeting before you actually meet. Maybe a subset might like to get a little deeper in something. Go ahead and just, you know, you're a team. You decide for yourselves how often you're going to meet and what your goals are.
Let's talk about this from the key end. You know, what should we actually do in a planning session? So I kind of walked us through how to get one set up and, you know, some important considerations as you call people up ahead of time. But here's some suggestions for that ideal situation. And, you know, we realize that many of us are scrambling to get ready, so any contact ahead of time is a good thing. You can take and pick what works best with your style. So my recommendations are always trying to read through the full meeting notes for your previous meeting minutes ahead of time, just to get a sense of where things stand with that office, what's been tried before in conversation, where we left things the last meeting, any handoffs or follow-ups we said we'd promise to circle back around to. And if there is a meeting plan that's been submitted by your liaison, then, you know, reviewing that is also going to be ideal, and you'll get that attached with that meeting designation next Thursday. You can also discuss that strategy within the plan and use the document, if it is blank, to actually create one yourself. We'll show you what that actually looks like here in the second half. You can also review the concept of, you know, what supporting asks are going to be most effective with your office and the relationship with that member, and when you'd like to use them throughout the meeting. You know, we use supporting asks just as a reminder when we've been turned down or move on and progress beyond our primary ask. And if that's already specified in the meeting plan as the lead, that's going to be one of your key areas to really settle in on helping the team pick. As lead, you'll also want to facilitate the transitions verbally or with body language cues between all of the participants, and make sure to have a keen eye on everyone having a chance to have their say. A verbal cue might sound something as simple as, you know, Ellie, would you like to tell me why you're here today and what we're asking for? You know, body language cues are also as simple as turning to look at someone, or, you know, acknowledging from that one view that this other person would like to key in on, also speak. Using hands to also indicate that at times is a simple way to really cue the flow of the meeting. And you can also let them know ahead of time, the rest of your team, how you like to cue people. So you can indicate during your planning session, If you've practiced well enough, your team might not even need cues at all. So do what feels right for your situation. And another thing to really consider is that we do have sample meeting outlines available on Community as well. I'll put a link to that in the chat here as well. And during that planning meeting, you also will want to assign roles. So we discussed roles in great detail in the training that Iona mentioned, the planning your lobby meeting with Congress training. But you know, this question comes up for leads from time to time. If your team settles into a plan that you and others feel good about, a good 24 hours ahead of your meeting time, you're also welcome to email that broad overview of bullet points of your agenda to the office ahead of time as well, to give them a heads up. Research from one of our friends, the Congressional Management Foundation, they've done in the past, has highlighted that staff actually really appreciate that, being able to prepare resources or requests ahead of time. Again, by no means is this a necessary step. Even if you don't email the staffer, maybe you email that outline right up to the whole team at least so that they have that. That would at least be, I would say, a great best practice to hold yourself to really communicate and make sure everyone has that ahead of time in writing. So let's actually talk meeting roles, though. If you want to, Iona, I'll pass it back to you.
Okay. Well, as the meeting lead, you should encourage everyone to participate in the discussion. You're in the room together, and you should be flexible enough to follow the plan, but be flexible so that if a staffer, for instance, or a member of Congress is clearly paying attention to one person in particular, then you could encourage that person to speak more than the others. So we're betting the ranch on relationships and connections. And so we just want to encourage that and be flexible. But it is a really good idea to have at least six roles assigned so that we don't forget the basics. So people are sort of in charge of getting a certain thing to happen. So planning the lobby meeting training is, as Brett said, is where we kind of get into detail on it. But the refresher, just the top line is there's an appreciator, there's an asker, there's a note taker, and there's a time monitor who has now morphed into both a time monitor and the person who tracks the number of open-ended questions that the team asks, and also the percentage of time that the member of Congress or staffer speaks and the percentage of time that CCL speaks. CCL now wants to track that. We think that's important information. And also to stress how important it is to make sure that that members of Congress and their staffers do at least half of the talking. There's also a lever, and there's also follow-up. And remember, your role as lead will be to assess your team's interests and skills and work together to make sure that we cover all those points in a meeting. So let's talk about the pre-meeting huddle just before the actual meeting. So ask everybody on the team to be at the meeting location 15 to 20 minutes ahead of time. And you should, we normally meet in the hall outside the office, or if that's somehow inappropriate, somewhere else, but it should be right nearby. And here are some of the things that you should review. So first, the roles. Confirm the roles that you've already set, or if you need to, assign additional roles or reassign roles if like somebody couldn't show up or as needed. Mainly, reconfirm the goal of the meeting. You should all be very clear of what you're going in there trying to accomplish. Review the primary ask and the supporting ask. And again, we can't remind people enough to keep asking open-ended questions and also reflect back what they understood. So what I'm hearing you say is this, that's new to people. I think it's hard to get used to. So it's just really important to remind them. And just to make sure that to keep asking these questions until the team is sure what the member or where the member or the staffer stands on the issue that they're discussing. Also remind them about what cues you'll be using and to look out for the cues. We're going to discuss later in this lesson what to do if you have a constituent call in for the meeting, but the huddle time is a really good time to, you know, call in the constituent, make sure that you have a good cell phone service and all that. And then we want to walk in a few minutes early, but try to wait for everyone to show up before you walk in. But certainly, and you all know, if people are very late, then you just start the meeting on time, or late at all. We always show up on time. And let's talk next about what a meeting leader does during the meeting. Brett?
Yeah, well, I like to think of them as a good conductor, as I'm sure many of you as well do. And really, the leader's there as the game manager, right? They don't dominate the meeting, but they're there to, you know, make sure, even if they're not the, actual kind of main point on all fronts, they want to make sure to be the air traffic controller, if you will. They're in charge of transition points, between speakers, between roles, getting the conversation back on track, wrapping things up, cueing people, making sure if a goal or a key question that was intended to be asked isn't towards the end, that we circle back to it to clarify, modeling open-ended questions and clarifications, like Iona has said, helping people especially become aware if they're, you know, occupying a bit more space than needed throughout the rest of the conversation flow. And if they are present, the leader also ensures that the constituents and the liaisons are heard from. So it's going to be really key as a lead to really just have that be one of the priorities at the front of your mind throughout the discussion. They should also really be able to understand and have what we like to call situational awareness and respond accordingly, right? So we'll talk about that actually in this next slide. But let's start actually by demonstrating some of these situational awareness moments by highlighting some example transitions that you might incorporate or find your own way of doing between different parts of the meeting. So I'll pass it back to you, Iona.
Okay, so before Brett and I demonstrate a couple of examples, there's something important to understand. So each meeting is different. So proceed in a way that's comfortable and appropriate for your situation. And as Brett mentioned, just being present and being a good listener are essential in determining what parts of the meeting need to be scrapped, for instance. You don't have to be married to your plan if it's not going the way that you think it ought to go. So I'll start off by demonstrating how you might transition from the discussion from the discussion part to the end of the meeting close. Congresswoman, I see that we are nearing the end of our time with you today. So I wanted to recap and clarify our understanding of the obstacles preventing you from supporting this proposal.
And let's think about another scenario or a couple of examples. You know, right out the gate here, we like to lead with appreciations, and then we also like to be direct with not beating around the bush and becoming forthright with why we're there, what our purpose is. Or perhaps if the staffer or the member of Congress themselves is taking the meeting in another direction, either of these ways of really transitioning is helpful. You could start saying something like this: Congressman, I want to thank you for your recent efforts to protect citizens from identity theft. That's a really important issue to me as well. But today we're actually here to discuss how we can partner with you and your office to create the political will for a livable world. Anything like that would really help redirect that conversation back to purpose.
Okay. And so if it's, maybe it's the fourth meeting that we've had with this member of Congress or staffer. So in that case, you might decide to skip the purpose and move from an appreciation right into the primary asks. So here's how it might look if this is a Republican member of Congress that we've established a good relationship with. Congressman, I want to thank you for your recent vote acknowledging climate change. We're here today to talk about solutions and to ask you to co-sponsor HR 763, which would place a steadily rising fee on carbon and return the net revenue back to American households. Are you ready to support such a proposal?
One last thing to kind of build off of what I was saying just a little bit earlier too, is really being able to volley back to another team member if you can think of yourself on the same tennis court even. And with this one, I'm actually incorporating the same phraseology for the first half I just used, but then I'm actually going to explicitly verbal signal a transition back to another teammate. So it could sound something like this. Congresswoman, I want to thank you for your recent efforts to protect citizens from identity theft. That's a really important issue for us as well. And today we're actually here for a different topic. So Iona is going to actually let you know a little bit more about why we're here and what we're seeking. You can see I set Iona up for the perfect grand slam there.
So a lead also needs to be able to bring the meeting back when it veers off course. And you all probably have seen that. So in the handling difficult situations training, we reviewed several examples of how to get meeting back on track. And we encourage everyone to review that lesson on community. And so we're going to demonstrate one situation for you now. In this example, Brett will play a member of Congress or staffer who goes off topic by discussing nuclear energy. And I will play the leader who acknowledges his comment and immediately circles back to why we're at this meeting.
And I'll just start by saying something like this. Nuclear Iona has to be a part of the conversation. It has to be on the table for me, and I'm not interested in continuing this if we aren't going to include that as part of our proposal.
As an organization, we don't take a position on nuclear, but we take a position on only one thing, which is reducing carbon emissions by placing a fee on greenhouse gas emissions and letting the market determine what's viable or not. The economists do tell us that when we pass HR 763, the percentage of nuclear in our energy mix stays about the same as it is now. Would you like to hear more about the Energy Innovation Act as a viable economic solution to transitioning out of fossil fuels?
Yeah, and I love that. And building on it too, just continuing to think of open-ended questions and, you know, how we can also not only invite a discussion about Energy Innovation Act, but also invite the member to share, you know, for this particular suite of policy interests around nuclear or whatever that might be, what are the ways that they see us collaborating? You know, what are the spaces that their priorities and ours might overlap? What other interests are they already working on that might also align with climate goals that Iona's highlighted there? I'd also love to just highlight this, you know, so as meeting leads, the key thing that I've highlighted here on this slide with situational awareness is that we're all going to do a lot of advanced planning, right? And that's really important. But we can't let our plans go on autopilot as well. And I think that's a really a hard juggling act to take at times. So we practice ahead of time because you never know what scenarios are actually going to play out in your meeting. But that's actually why in the meeting, it's important to be more focused on what's actually being said rather than what you're anticipating might be said. But really in that moment, keying in and then responding to what we're actually hearing, not what we expect or, you know, thought we would heard. So as the meeting lead, you're really the key role in recognizing that and also in identifying when it might be appropriate to diverge from that plan. And so, again, good situational awareness means that you're not only listening to the words being said, you're observing body language. One of the benefits of having a team, though, is that if you don't pick up on a particular cue from the member of Congress or the staffer, one of your other fellow lobbyists is probably going to do just that. So they can then ask a follow-up question, just like you saw myself build off of Iona there, help redirect a derailed conversation, and really leverage that team approach to best, you know, present a united front in a way that really engages the office and makes them feel heard and supported.
So another situation to look out for is the silent constituent. You know, that we've all been there. We've all had people who don't speak up. So you can choose to encourage them to speak up with a verbal cue, such as, "Brett, I'd just like to pause for a moment and see if there's anything you'd like to add at this point." And so that's a very generous way of bringing other people into the conversation. Another is, what if someone on the team says something that's flat out wrong? So rather than correcting them, you could try something like this. "If I may, let me add to what Brett was saying." And so your team, doing that, your team will appreciate you for not correcting them or pointing out that they forgot something. The other thing is, what could you do is, if a CCL volunteer gets agitated or angry during a meeting, this is not common, but it sometimes it happens. So the first thing you should do is just stay calm. and here's an example of how it could break out and play out. Brett will play the angry volunteer, and I will play the team leader.
It's you guys in Congress who are stalling and making this worse.
Congresswoman, obviously we're very passionate people, and we're working very hard to try to get something done on time. So you were just saying that you don't think that remaining in the Paris Climate Agreement would be effective. Could we share with you what we've learned about the effectiveness of HR 763?
Let's review a couple of other considerations here, including team size and really highlighting, you know, what to think about with, you know, how that might play out depending on your meeting. You know, if there's just two or three volunteers in a meeting, each person is going to need to play more than one role. Again, as we're continuing to grow so quickly, especially in our lobby team meetings, I'm guessing that that won't be the case for a lot of them. But large groups also have their own challenge. And I think for that, again, it means keying in on making sure that all people are involved. You want to acknowledge and appreciate them for that. And again, additional people in the meeting whose role is looking present and affirming their interests is important. So even if they don't say a lot, it's really important to really value them for being present and uplift their role, whatever it might be, throughout that meeting. Also, you're probably going to arrive with some situations where other attendees show up late, right? And coming in late is very disruptive. The only time you really would actually want a volunteer to join a meeting already in progress is if they're actually the only constituent. Otherwise, you want to clarify ahead of time, you know, just so that the team knows, hey, if any of us get tripped up in another meeting, especially if we're going across the hill, or for whatever reason we can't find the office location, it's all right to just recuse yourself and to really clarify not to expect to be able to jump in late, given that that's really going to disrupt, especially if you only have 10, 15 meetings, minutes with the congressperson. And the other situation to really review for DC meetings is when a volunteer from another state or region actually shows up for a meeting that they haven't been scheduled for. And this is always fun. First off, you know, just make sure they're actually not in the wrong place or ditching a meeting that they actually have been assigned. And then also, given how much time and coordination that's been put into the scheduling process, and that others that have also most likely wanted to join weren't able to due to the fact that a lot of our meetings have filled up earlier than usual this year, we really want to ask you as the lead to empower yourself to thank them for their interest and passion, let them know that we already have plenty of people assigned in that meeting, you've already done advanced planning, and that scheduling process was set up to structure each meeting fairly. So feel free to lean in on any of that in describing it. Again, worst case scenario, you know, somebody can join, but we do really want to discourage that given all the preparation and the planning that have been put in ahead of time. So with that, let's actually move on to talking about what you should be doing immediately following the meeting. And again, George asked this great question here, so let's just clarify that, given that Iona just mentioned it. What about a team member who wants to argue with a member or the congressional aide? And again, for me at least, and I'd love anyone else to feel free to weigh here on the chat as well, because we have a lot of veterans on the line that have been through a lot of meetings. I think that this is another key rule to, you know, at least establish or communicate ahead of time and really just clarify as the team lead, you know, again, we're there as collaborators. We're there to really work with the office. And for them, you know, as a team to know that, you know, that intent and goal is going to help keep us focused and that we're also going to help transition out of those situations, you know, should anyone feel argumentative, again, using some of those redirection or transition examples that we've highlighted to keep that conversation on track. So let's talk about the meeting debrief, though. At this point, this should be done immediately after the meeting. And as a team lead, this is also another key area that you can shine and really kind of facilitate a really productive and learning conversation, right? We know that a lot of situations are going to have, you know, not a lot of time between the meetings to debrief. So sometimes this is maybe only 10 minutes, but it's really key to capture everyone after that meeting, to step a little bit farther down that hallway, and then just have a chance to facilitate what people's observations were. One, it's really going to help that note taker capture anything that they may have missed, and other people can share their observations. And two, it's also going to really help establish people to give and take that feedback with each other. We're all learning. We all become better lobbyists each and every meeting that we're a part of. And giving this debrief time really helps jumpstart, I think, that reflective process for you, especially as the lead, to be that intentional mentor. And again, so this slide highlights, again, the debrief could look like getting away from the door. The meeting lead could begin by talking about what went well, take the opportunity to nurture those members that had questions. Again, ask the note taker to even read the notes that they had back. Look back at the meeting minutes form and find the section, you know, titled Important Things to Capture. We'll highlight that here on this next slide. And if there's something important to capture, actually making sure to, as a team, capture that. And then just verify the follow-up items. Note who's going to do the follow-up, the thank you card drop-off, file the meeting minutes online with the meeting minutes form. And if anyone also, after that debrief time, actually wants to meet with Dr. Danny Richter or any of the other legislative staff, they're going to be on the Senate side in the morning, and that's on the ground floor cafeteria between the Dirksen and Hart buildings, and then the Rayburn cafeteria in the afternoon after 1 o'clock.
Let's take a look at the meeting minutes form. And the form itself is self-explanatory, but there are two things worth mentioning. The most important one is you have to enter the meeting number. This meeting number is on your schedule. And Brett will show you in just two more slides. Here's the cool thing. When you submit your meeting notes and include your meeting number, every person in the meeting will receive an email with the notes. So it's really important. And where will you see the meeting number? Well, when you get your lobby schedule, there's going to be a 5-digit number in a black box at the top right corner of the schedule of each meeting. It's really hard to miss. So that's number one, the meeting number. Number two, we can never remind you enough that these meetings notes are confidential. So not to be shared anywhere. Just think of the trust that would be blown if those things got around. So we always keep our notes and minutes confidential. So when you review the notes the final time and send them out, then why don't you please delete that email so that the notes will be in our database. You need to submit an electronic copy of your notes within 48 hours. That's something that CCL stresses. We really would like that within 48 hours. So please try to do that. And you would email them to www.citizensclimatelobby.org/minutes. And so as a team leader and our lobby leads, please make sure you please make a separate saved note of the note taker's name. So make sure that you know the note taker's name so that if a note doesn't get submitted, we know who to contact to get the notes. And these are so important, these notes. They're really key. We rely on them to help us build momentum. And so your attention to detail and follow through in submitting is really, really important. So thanks so much for that. And so one last thing, as meeting leads, let's talk about the position statement part of meeting notes. So during the debrief, you're going to want to make sure to capture as accurate a picture as you can into that member's position on the Energy Innovation Act, as well as their individual beliefs on climate change. So we track this over time, and I think most of you have seen, we have a 4-letter scale from A to E, and the further down grades are better. So it's better to get a D than an A. Important to assess as a team where the member stands on the Energy Innovation Act and what his or her climate position is. So go ahead, Brett.
Awesome. So I'm just going to talk about a couple of specific meeting encounters you might get assigned if you see your schedule or if your other team members get this and you don't have it, you as a lead can help. We'll talk about the TBD meeting, and then we'll talk about the delivery only meeting just quickly. So you might get a schedule with a TBD meeting on it. That's a tongue twister, but it essentially means the appointment isn't set, to be determined, right? So on your screen right now, you actually see an example schedule with what that meeting might look like if it's marked TBD. And if the meeting is TBD and you are the meeting lead for that TBD meeting, you should contact the appointment center, whose name and contact information are also going to be listed in that special notes section. You can see that often here if it's not blanked out for anonymity. And, you know, help kind of get their opinions on what to know or be prepared for. You know, we don't want to ask that you take over for the appointment schedule, but rather that you work with them to get the meeting scheduled. And a reminder, if they don't already know this, to try to avoid that 2 p.m. time, as that's our most common hour. We actually have lobby meetings most often, and that might lead to no one or very few people on the TBD team to be available. And TBD meetings are intentionally overfilled, actually, because we know that when the meeting is finally scheduled, it's inevitable some people are going to have to drop out or have a conflict. So the remaining schedule for the rest of the team is displayed in that far, actually that far right column. You can kind of see who else has availability in each of these other times. These are when they also have meetings, so you can schedule around that to identify maybe the most open time period depending on the team. And then here's the other thing to remember with TBD meetings. So once the meeting is confirmed, the leader is responsible for letting the rest of the teammates know by phone, email, and text. So you got the trifecta there. And why all three, you might be asking? Well, you can't depend on everyone having good cell service in DC or even having a cell phone, right? Some people don't text or know how to, and some people hate email. So there you go. You've got all three covered if you do that and meet them where they are. And if you're contacted by the team lead of another TBD meeting, we also just ask that you respond as soon as you can to confirm or let them know that you're not able to make that updated time. So at this point, let's talk delivery-only meetings too really quick. And then we'll just have one last slide on constituent comments joining us via the phone. So if your schedule you have under the time something that says delivery-only instructions, this means that basically we didn't get a meeting with the office. Again, this is probably only going to be for about 30 or less meetings throughout the whole congressional delegation, so it's pretty rare. But there should be two people listed to make this delivery then. And, you know, we don't expect to get drop-in appointments for delivery-only meetings. The office staff really actually don't like that. There's probably a reason why we weren't able to set up a time that day. You know, but again, last year, for example, you know, we stopped by Puerto Rico's office. Commissioner Jennifer Gonzalez-Colon was just walking in, happened to, you know, say, hey, give those folks an appointment now. Guess who joined the Climate Solutions Caucus right after that? Congresswoman Gonzalez-Colon. So if you show up and you have a smile as big as Kathy Orlando's, anything can happen. So, you know, just make sure to call that other person, though. Plan the time that works best with your aligned schedules to drop off those materials to the staffer listed on your schedule in that office. And the only two things you need to include in the drop-off are constituent comments. So if you have those and pick those up from the letter table, and then our primary ask. For every meeting that is labeled delivery only, you know, we ask that you make sure to deliver the materials and submit meeting minutes still. It's really critical to get our goal of touching all 541 offices on the Hill, including the territories. And so being able to mark what we've done with whom is really going to help our accuracy in reporting. And at this point, if you do need extra materials, you know, say you've got a lot of meetings and you need that extra primary ask handout, you can always go to the registration desk and they'll have extra printouts.
Okay, so sometimes when you receive your schedule, you'll see that there's a note that a constituent wants to call into the meeting. So what that would mean is that as soon as you can, you should contact this individual, call them, confirm their availability to join the meeting, and make sure that you confirm that it's going to take place at Eastern time. You know, sometimes if it's a different time zone, that could mess you up. So just check, make sure that it's that they know what time it is and for their own time zone. And you could, when the meeting starts, you should confirm with the office that it's okay to to have a constituent call in by phone. I mean, it would have been set up by the liaison in advance, but you're just confirming that. And we called from our own cell phones and placed the call on speaker. If the MOC, if the staffer or the MOC wants to use their own phone, then fine. But we just always volunteer, you know, offer to use our own phones, and then involve the constituent as appropriate. So you might want to pause or cue them, and because it just kind of try to bring them in. But very often a good thing to do is to have them do the appreciation right at the top, because it's the best is to have the appreciation, have them be with the constituent, and it's easy to pay attention to that cell phone sitting on the desk right at the beginning. The cell service on Capitol Hill is spotty, so sometimes it's not going to work, and you just roll with it because you just, you know, that's just the way it is, and everybody realizes the constituents should kind of recognize that too. And so that's that, and it's pretty powerful. Sometimes people really works really, really well, and so that's great to facilitate that. And just a quick note on call Congress Day. So before we go in on June 11th, we're going to be inviting 130,000 of CCL supporters to call Congress on Wednesday, June 5th, to amplify our voices. So please go ahead and do that on June 5th, or if you can't get through, go on the 6th. And again, we do the usual start with an appreciation to find something to thank your congressperson for, and leaving a message support our time on the Hill.
At this point, we encourage you to share this with anyone that couldn't join us live, anyone else that is getting ready to prepare for Congress and meeting with us here on the Hill. And if people have questions that we didn't get to tonight, I'm always open to feedback. I love your suggestions or ways that we can clarify. My email is just brett@citizensclimate.org. Iona's is listed here as well. It's there. And we also would love for your participation in the forums. I know a lot of you are already active in that front, but feel free to ask questions or answer others as well, available in that forums link. So I'll actually pass it to you, Iona, to close us with this great quote from Representative Chu. And then again, I'll stick around for anyone that has questions. This is a powerful way to frame our ending tonight, everyone.
To close tonight, here's what Representative Judy Chu, she's an original co-sponsor of HR 763. And she submitted this on behalf of CCL in a recent Ways and Means Committee hearing in the House. While climate change is here and it demands immediate action, I'd like to submit a statement for the record from the Citizens Climate Lobby, which lays out the economic case for taking bold action immediately and offers a solution to aggressively address this crisis. This proposal offers a solution. In fact, it's a solution I support, HR 763, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, which proposes a carbon fee where the dividends are returned to every American household. Certainly, I support such market-based solutions that can help us address this crisis.